We're at the end of a series on Exodus, and I'm going to be sharing with that. In fact, I'm going to do three little meditations and reflections this morning, all vision-based. The first one is going to be sharing vision about our services for next year. The other one is sharing vision about the dolphin. If you don't know what that is, you will in a minute. And the last one we'll finish on is vision for freedom. What has God been doing with us in this season as we go through Exodus? I sent out a video to many of you about 10 days ago. Didn't realize what a hit that was. Shame I couldn't monetize the clicks on it. I don't think it would make me millions. But Dave Stupiak, who sent that out for us, tells us it's the most watched video and clicked on thing we've had in the life of the church. Your lives must be very boring. Or I'm very interesting, but I can see 172 people clicked on to have a look and see what was coming, but the video has been watched 837 times as of this morning, so some of you are probably just keep watching it, you're so excited, but wanted to, if you haven't watched it yet, go and watch it. Giving you some information now, but sharing the vision for it and what's happening in the new year so that you know. We went to having two services here, it was nearly 4 years ago, and some of you go, no it wasn't, it was a couple of years ago, 4 years ago. And the reasons that we went to two services were because we needed space for growth, space for new people. Another reason to go to two services, a value that we have, is about being hosts here. We come as hosts to meet with God and make space for new people to come in and meet with God and not turn up as perpetual guests occasionally to see whether we like the service or not. And we had a lot of us that weren't involved in hosting, which is what we call serving on Sundays. And so that freed up, made it possible for a lot more people to get involved. So we did that, and it was the single biggest thing, one of the single biggest things in the life of our church that's led to growth in our church in the last 20 years that we've been going. And we've been fully committed to two services. The staff team met a couple of weeks ago, a whole lot of us paid, and some of the volunteer staff, and we were like, okay, where's our two services? How's the year going? Why did we do this? And we literally spent 2 years going through all the reasons we have two services and thought, okay, and we've got some particular challenges this year. One of the challenges we've got this year, and it's really unusual, previously, if you look at our numbers, they're quite predictable. You know, summertime, lots of people on holiday, bank holidays, lots of people away. And then there are some months which are peak months when we know most people are around. When I say most people, we've usually got 40% of people away Sunday by Sunday anyway. But enormous swings this year. Months in which we would expect a lot of people to be around, loads of people away. So give you an example, looking at numbers, information, because some of you like that. You want to know, what are the facts? And 2 weeks ago, we had 140 adults here. Absolutely decimated. As far as I know, it wasn't a public holiday. No fire alerts. Last week, sorry. A couple of weeks before that, not the baptism, we had nearly 300 people here, 300 adults. That's an enormous swing in people to deal with between two services. It's a logistical nightmare, particularly for the children's ministry between two services. When we could predict flows of people, it's a lot easier to adjust around. So it's a challenge. And the other main challenge that we've been having is that this service has been growing and getting bigger, and the earlier service has been getting smaller and smaller. And some of the things we know anecdotally from people telling us, people visit and go, well, that was great. And then some of their friends go, you should come to the next service. There's more people. It's the bigger party. And we've been there before with our services. Some of you will remember we've changed the service times 3 times over the last 4 years because of these reasons. We actually ended up having the second service got smaller and smaller. Any of you remember that? And we're a bit like the Bank of England with two services. We've got one lever to pull. The Bank of England can do interest rates. We changed the service times. So we literally sat for 2 hours thinking, right, all the reasons, involvement, capacity, space, we're going to have to adjust the times. So we thought, what times? And basically, here's how we change the times when we do it. We try to make it uncomfortable for everyone so that people, there's no one service that's much better than another one. So we did that, and we planned the teams. We spent 2 hours on it, thought we'd found some new times. And just before we pulled the lever on doing that, asked the question, but what if we went back to one service? How would that work? And I'll be honest with you, the room went from being, we were quite tired after 2 hours of that level of organisational adjustment. And I think we realised quickly a few things. The first one was, what you do will always get you more of what you've got. Going to two services released something for us, but one of the things we've realised is that adjusting the times around those fluctuations just means we're going to maybe have more of a balance for a while, and then we'll be back where we are. We've done that enough times to know that that's likely to happen. And the other realisation was this. What we need most of all is a bigger space. If we had a bigger space, and that's why we went to two services. So how on earth is that, if there's been really successful engagement involvement, how would that work? Well, actually, looking at in the video that Dave produced for us, if you haven't watched it, Dave even showed us, this bit was built after we went to two services, made the hall a bit bigger. excuse me. So there's actually more capacity in here. But what it means if we go back, and we're going to go back to one service, 10:30, what it means is, a lot of the time, it'll just be nice in here. Some of the time, based on people that we have, unless some of you leave because you don't like the changes, and what might happen is this place will be very full. So going back to one service with a bit of extra capacity here is not a long-term answer for us. It's not the reason to do it. The reason to do it is what I shared in the video and what I want to share with you next, the vision for this, because we felt as a team that the Lord turned up and started to speak to us, and a few things came together. One of them was, we've been having a wonderful time going through the autumn on Finding Freedom. And a couple of weeks ago, had an amazing time in both services, but something very special in the second service. And several people said, I wish we'd all been together for that experience. And that was one of the words we kept hearing, the word together, the shared experience together. And another realization that we are just landlocked here in this room. We've been here 20 years. We started talking last year about finding a permanent home, and we're like a hermit crab. You know how a hermit crab grows and it meets the size of its shell? And we're stuck. So we're needing a bigger space. So how's that going to happen here? So then we started to think, what else could we do? What could we be more of here? Well, more of here, we want to be more, not less, with one service. And what do I mean by that? We want to have more hosting on Sundays. We want our teams fuller than before. Going to one service makes that possible for a while. We've got this opportunity to have our teams fuller and make them better. We want more of a focus on God and preparation with our teams on a Sunday. One of the other things with two services and the number of teams that we have is realizing that we have so many teams turn up at different times and so many of us rushing in last minute that Sundays are quite tiring. And for anyone being hosted here, when they visit, they bump into a whole load of us all over the place, rushing in and out to make this happen. And there's an opportunity to do something more. So other than the band who have to get here earlier, what's going to happen from the new year is we're going to be asking all of our teams will arrive at the same time. And we will set up, and then we are going to have 15 minutes together where we pray. And we ask Jesus to turn up, and we are going to share words for one another, and we're going to ask for the prophetic to be released. And so that when people arrive and start booking into kids and all those things, the other thing I'm excited about is that when people turn up, they'll see more people here and are people who are focused and ready to host them and ready to introduce them to Jesus. We've got this opportunity, so this is what we can do more of. Now, the other idea to finish on this is, well, it's not going to work in the long term, because if that works, we're just going to be very full in here very quickly. It's nicely full now, isn't it? Imagine squeezing another 70 people from the other service in here. Oh, excuse me. Anyone else got one of those lovely winter coughs ready for Christmas? Excuse me a second. You know, we met out in the atrium. Any of you remember that? Thank you. We met out in the atrium in the summer, and we nearly moved into the gym. One of the problems with the gym, it's the big space next door, is the acoustics are just horrific. There's a 7-second sound delay, and we were looking at what it would take. I mean, it's nothing that money can't fix, by the way, like most things. But it was going to be a huge expense, and we realized it for a temporary thing. But the school came back to us, and they were like, we need a bigger space. And they started talking about partnering, and I thought it might be something we look at in a couple of years' time. But actually, what we're going to do is, I'm going to be talking with the trustees and progressing with the school and saying, you know, this idea of partnering, is there a way we could get ready for next autumn, fit out the gym, installing sound systems and other things, so that we can partition it and use it and have the bigger space that we need for being together. And partner with a school, and then say we were sitting around the staff, and we go, well, we could do this, and we could do this, and we could, I mean, this is a multi, it's been wonderful being here. The fact that the school extended it just in time for us to extend all our children's ministry. Isn't that amazing? Saved us millions, wasn't it? So why don't we make the most of what God's put before us so we can become more of, so that we're ready to move into one day we're starting to pray for and look for our own permanent space. And that's why I sent a video out to you. The feedback from you has been wonderful. Lots of feedback from people. And say, why are we doing this? I've given you some facts, given you some numbers, because we're pursuing the Lord. And we are not making unnecessary changes. We're trying to be good stewards and seek what God's doing with us. And your feedback's been wonderful. Some of you are probably like, oh, no, you know. But please bear with us if that's how you feel. But be caught up and trust your friends around you, because the feedback I've had from many people has been, God's doing something. This is exciting. I don't know why. That just sounds like something's happening. So the call to action is this. If you're on a team, please stay on your teams. This is not an opportunity to go, I'm not needed now. We need you more than ever. Do you get the key word here is hashtag more. So we're looking at all our teams are saying, well, what more could we do with AV? What more could we do with welcome? What more can we do with kids? What more can we do with youth? What more can we do with worship? By the way, our services will have more time for some of the things that the Lord's doing with us. You know, we're talking about freedom, and the way we are as a Vineyard Church, we'll have more time for worship, more time to listen to the Lord and hear his voice and his words and pray for one another. So we need you more than ever. And by the way, if you are not on a team, we ask everyone who considers this their church to serve one Sunday a month. Now is the time to sign up and serve so we can be this more together. Another thing to do is engage with your team leaders. If you're on a team, they're speaking to you about and preparing for that. Even if you're not sure how it's going to work, please, it would help us the most to go, right, how can I make this work? Get involved, respond. And come to our prayer meetings, 3rd and 4th of January. If you're a regular in our church, we know we have a prayer meeting in the life of our church, the first, close to the start of each term, sorry, each bit of the year. What do you call it? It is a term, isn't it? Thank you. Each term. Right, and so 3rd and 4th of January, and we're going to be down at the Dolphin praying, pick one of those nights, and come along and pray. We'll be praying for our services as well as Alpha and Lighthouse and some other things. And if nothing else, the last thing on it is this. From next Sunday, what time do our services move to? It's really easy. Some of you are just like, what? His lips are moving. I can't hear anything. You're thinking about Christmas and stuff. From next Sunday, just turn up at 10:30. Okay? If you're on a team, you need to turn up before then, but the team leaders will tell you. And trust the process. We'll unfold it together, and it will all happen. So if nothing else, 10:30 from next Sunday. Now, turn around, say hello to someone maybe you don't know so well, and share anything that you might find exciting about that. Brian just reminded me of something we sent out in the video. Again, trying to, as always, we're trying to listen to the Lord. That is the thing. It's the most important thing that we do. It's the primary thing. What has the Lord said? Not what is feasible, practical, is easy to do. and in that staff meeting that we had, Wendy in particular had a word that she shared that God had spoken to her about as being together. And that's what prompted the discussion about going to one service. And then the word more came out as we all shared as we prayed together. And that's where we've got the hashtag more together. That's what this is about, more together. And that's what we'll be pressing into in the new year. Second vision update for you is on the Dolphin, if I can share that. Some of you remember the Dolphin was an answer to prayer for prayer just over a year ago. I started praying. The Lord told me to pray for a place that would be an answer to prayer for prayer. And I ended up talking to the landlord of the old Dolphin pub and having to say to him, can we have this place for free for prayer? And he went, yeah. And then I told you that story. And then we met there and we started to pray. And oh my goodness, what a year has unfolded as we have begun to pray and press into prayer. Because we started to meet at the Dolphin and pray in all this glorious mess that it was in. And if you remember, we had the largest uptake in Alpha we've ever had. It's amazing that. We pray. Alpha has lots of people. The power of prayer. And as we started to pray, some things emerged. The leaders of our church, we came to the church in March and said, look, here's what is happening in our prayer meetings. The vision for Lighthouse emerged from praying. And God speaking to Debbie, but also people in the prayer meetings getting this word again and again and again, which was Lighthouse. And that's how Lighthouse was birthed. And then we had our Ben shared about what the youth might be able to do in the Dolphin, and we talked about community use and other stuff, and we had this crazy idea that made no sense financially, but we felt that God had spoken to us. So we shared it with you as a church, and we said, look, if we're going to take the Dolphin on, we need a lease, we need some more money for it. And the landlord took a step of faith with us. He pulled out of a contract, guaranteed 15-year contract with a restaurant, because he couldn't bear to see this vision for what we wanted to do there not happen, and he took a risk on us. And then you took a risk, and you increased your giving and started giving. So thank you for that, because then we went into a lease for the Dolphin. And then we took on the lease on the place, and we've had some issues with the joists in the basement and all that stuff going on. I'm sure that's prophetic as well. Start from the bottom and work up. And then full swing this autumn, we've been sending out, or I have, regular videos and updates to you. You've been looking out for those every week, haven't you, for the Dolphin? And I go down and take photos, and it's all taking shape and being transformed. And then there's been lots of other things happening around the Dolphin. You know this art of neighbouring thing? You remember that? We're going to carry on doing the art of neighbouring. We're going to carry on pressing into loving our neighbours and doing more. That wasn't just a one-off thing that we did. We're going to keep doing it. And I'm realising I've got some new neighbours. We have some new neighbours with the Dolphin. I've got to know Friday. I think Friday is Persian, and that's just the name he goes by because everyone can pronounce that instead of his real name, across the road in the cafe, and said that he's, you know, we had told him he's the church cafe. And I was down there yesterday doing a site visit with Simon Harris, who's in our church, and some of his guys. And as Bev and I came out and we went over and had breakfast together, I could see him. He was in the window and he was waving. He was big smile going, come here, come here. And we were going over anyway, had breakfast. And as I went in, he came in and he said, I'm keeping an eye on it for you. And then Bev said, as Simon and his workmen were, when are they clocking off? We had a little laugh. And there's a lot of builders, contractors, scaffolders, and other people go there. All credit to Simon as he runs his business, because Friday said, Simon's guys, they're the nicest guys that come in here. Simon's a blessing. I'm crying again. It's my hormones. Yeah. I am just in a season of being utterly overwhelmed with what the Lord is doing. And so I've got to know Darren. Darren runs the tire company on the corner, one of the most miserable human beings I've ever met. he won't be listening to this. So I'm like, right, Lord, this one's going to be a challenge, getting to know him. And he said, what's going on in there? And I told him, and he just went, So there you go. But then, yesterday, doing a site visit, I'm down, and Simon and his guys have the landlord's bought a Christmas tree, wants it out the front. It's going to get nicked, I know it is. So Simon and his guys have built this enormous wooden frame for it to make it as impossible to steal as possible, and it's chained up. But if someone wants to cut it in half and take it, they will. Anyway, we've got to send the landlord the photos, and he's all like, yes, his Christmas tree. He's so excited for it. And I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden I get someone tap on my shoulder. And it's Ricky, one of my new neighbours on my block map to know, runs the nail bar next door. And he goes, what's going on? And I thought, I'll tell him. We're from a church. It's a community project. We're going to have this and this. And he kept asking, just ask 15 minutes of questions. And I said, there's going to be light and people and community and music. And we're going to have worship and church things. And you could see his face. And he just asked lots more questions. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Getting to cast vision to our neighbours who are going to be around there. And you know what? It's something they're not expecting. Every single one of them I've spoken to are like, didn't think something like that was going to be here. You know, restaurants, pound shops, you name it. But a community space full of what we're going to do in there. So that's been exciting. I took the landlord round the other day. love taking him around, showing him all the stuff. But the biggest thing I do is I walk through the vision again every time, because the Lord's told me, tell him the vision, tell him the vision. And I go, we're going to have the doors, and they're going to be like this. And this is where everyone will come in. And then that's where the kitchenette will be. And then this place will be full here, and there'll be courses and training. And sometimes at night we'll have music, and all the light will be coming out. And then this is the disabled toilet. It's very exciting, the disabled toilet. I walk around the place every time I go around and pray for it. And I found myself praying in each room for the different things. I pray in the basement for all the stuff that's being donated and going to be stored there. The massive wealth of stuff we'll be storing and giving away. And then I found myself walking to the toilet. And Lord, I pray for everyone who comes in. No, I shouldn't pray in the toilet. I didn't quite know what to pray for everyone that came to the toilet. But walked into the back room of the lighthouse. Anyway, I took the landlord through. And I went, and this is where clients will be being met. And this is the prayer room. I took him into the prayer room. And I get to say to him, this is where we have been praying. This is where this is unfolding. This is our prayer space. And I can see him. He's a lapsed Catholic, a wonderful man. He's got some faith. And they're saying, yeah, local churches are going to be in here and doing it. And then he's like, and then he's immediately on the phone to me that week, message, well, WhatsApping me and saying, because he gets to do for some, he goes, I don't know why, but all my catering at the minute seems to be for church events. And he goes, so I've been telling them what's going on at the Dolphin. Isn't that good? A basement full of donations and light and life and amazing stuff. By the way, for the lighthouse, which we did a soft launch on, we've been running it out of the current church centre till we move it there. It's had 19 sessions, 22 unique visitors, 44 visits in total, giving away clothes, stair gates, baby baths, bedding, car seats, cots, sterilisers, buggies, nappies and more. And one of the other things that's emerging is some of the people coming to the lighthouse are coming back because they're finding relationship. And we're trying to find ways to keep meeting together. January to March, we have a project that I'll be doing with Debbie and with Hannah, our kids pastor. Debbie, who runs our Lighthouse project, is a social worker and got lots of contacts to agencies. And with Hannah, our youth pastor, she's going to make an introduction. Hannah's going to go and vision cast to all these agencies about the Lighthouse and say it's coming to the light, it's coming to the Dolphin. And we're going to have a huge big opening and invite them all there. But also what we're hoping it's going to unlock more connections for us. That's part of Hannah's role. That's why we employed her just over, was it February? See? It's been more this year, isn't it? We took on a kids pastor. So we're doing all of that. And I picture it, and that's when I stood there with Aidan. And he goes, I'm going to do all the catering for free for the party. And we're going to have the mayor, and we're going to have the local councillors. And I said, and we're going to have all these agencies here, and people from the community, and it's going to be light and life and a party. We're hosting a party. And that prayer space, I've been praying. And I mean, for me, I get choked up. Because standing in that space on my own with the moment when I had to ask the landlord, could we meet here for free to pray? And look where we are a year later. The prayer room. There's been lots of prayer going on at the Dolphin. We've had organized prayer there, unofficial prayer there, people meeting to pray there. We've been running some under the radar 24/1 prayers, praying for 24 hours. I can't wait. I showed Aidan, this is where we're going to have the locks and the system to book online. In this room, all the local churches and the leaders, we're going to give them access to it so they can book it online and come down here to either pray on their own or pray together. With the vision for this place is that it's full of people praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with all the local churches joining together in that prayer. That's what's going to happen here and grow from there. Isn't that exciting? And you know, by the way, 2 weeks ago, we had one of the most powerful times we've ever had in our Sunday services here. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the day before we had 24 hours of prayer. We had 43 people sign up to pray for an hour through 24 hours. And God is listening to us. And so when I send you out those photos and videos, I'm asking you to imagine that place full of light and life and community and worship and prayer and the presence of God and hundreds of people in our community and youth having a space and relationship and people being healed and training and this word, a lighthouse for our region. So January, when we say come to the prayer meetings, that's what we're asking you to come and pray for. More together of that. I said we've, you know, the giving that we've had to enter into the lease, you know, thank you for that and keep on doing that. But we need some capital to finish the fit out. One of the amazing things is that some of you just can't help yourselves. We haven't had an official request for capital, but some of you said, God's spoken to me. There's some money, and it's enabled us to get moving on all the works. And we're at the stage now where we say, we want to finish this, and we need some more money. So in that letter, the email I sent out the other day, has got the photos, the videos, the breakdown of the costs, and we're asking you to give a gift to the Dolphin this Christmas. And if you're excited about this, go away, pray, and see what gift you can make. Bev and I prayed, and we gave ours yesterday to invest in that vision. So that was the second vision, summary of the year, looking forward to next year. We're going to take another 30-second break. Turn around. Say hello to someone else you might not know so well and say, what's something about the Dolphin that you're excited about? And we'll start back in a minute. Vision. Exodus. What's the Lord been doing with us? Well, there's already a lot there that I've shared, but I did a review, so I've got a little reflection here on the series as we've been going through Exodus on finding freedom. And we come to the end of that series. And the premise of it was to look at the things that enslave us and have power over us. And we've discovered, as we've reviewed some of these vignettes of these amazing, dramatic stories, how God's people were so overwhelmed by the most brutal of circumstances and how God delivers them. Doesn't just deliver them from their circumstances, but delivers them from themselves to be in relationship with Him. Their circumstances had stopped them from being in relationship with their God. And one of the first things that God does is He goes into the core of who they are, their identity. God does this time and time again in Scripture when people's situation, we've been learning this, gets out of control and they're in bondage and they're trapped. And He goes, let me remind you of who I am and who you are to me so that I can then move in your life. And we've been exploring that, and God works in their lives, and they realize that their movement of God in their lives is limited by their lack of identity in God. I mean, there's this whole build-up with the story of Moses himself. Moses tries to kickstart this movement, and it fails abysmally until he's gone off and been a shepherd in the burning bush, and he meets with God, and God does something in Moses to turn Moses into Moses. And God's been doing some wonderful things with us, and we've been exploring those. Do we enjoy God? Is He all the way through who we are? Or is He an extra to get us for something about who we are? Are we like Moses praying and saying, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go anywhere into anything different. And once God's people turn to Him and respond, He moves in power and then there's deliverance. And we see these amazing stories of God at work. And we've been making some of those deliverance turns Sunday by Sunday here. Some of the increasing, just rising tide of stories I hear from people. More and more people talking to me about God setting them free and His power in their lives and their love for Him and the peace that He's been bringing and some amazing deliverance in terms of health and work and other things. But some of the other deliverance we've been seeing and the power has been the art of neighboring. I mean, one of the most significant challenges we had as a church, that we are all so tired and so busy that we're trapped and can't love our neighbors. And Jesus says, start there. It's one of the greatest challenges, but we pressed into that. And there's been an explosion of connection and relationship, and we're going to continue that, seeing us bring God's love and connection to others. In our leaders, we had a half day, one of the most significant days I can remember. I'm not overstating it. We were all together, most of our leaders, about 90 of us, with a focus on kingdom and warfare. But people who have been doing Sozo, we've got 24 people training in Sozo ministry. It's a healing prayer ministry. And one of the most wonderful things was hearing the people doing Sozo share about what God's been doing in their lives and the people that they're starting to pray for freedom. And then we had a call to our leaders to understand that, you know, we often talk about tiredness, we're often apathetic, we're often overwhelmed, and those are spiritual things. They are a battle, and we so often cede our authority to them and give in to the plans of the enemy. And God's been capturing our attention on that. Just like the Egyptians, just like the Israelites, sleepwalked into economic slavery with the, Walked into economic slavery. We do that. You know, like the frog in the kettle. If you put a frog in a kettle in the boiling water, it will jump out. But if you put a frog in cold water and warm it up slowly, it will stay in there. And many of us end up trapped in situations just because they've just built up over time. And the enemy says, oh, it doesn't matter. Wait for that. Don't worry about that. And these things, tiredness and apathy and indifference, creep up and choke life out of us. And as I say, we had 43 of us praying. And then we had the most amazing time in our services. The first service was very powerful. Second service was we're a charismatic evangelical church, but a pile of bodies lying on the floor at the front here. And people worshipping Jesus. Now, we're going to worship Jesus, whether people have an intense experience of him or not. But it was lovely to see people overwhelmed. And I found myself, for the first time in 20 years, having to explain to some of the few other people looking around, like, you know, frozen in the headlights, especially visitors, like, what is this? It's like, these people are not mad. I felt like Peter in Acts. They're not drunk. And some people asked me, you said, what was that all about? I said, people just overwhelmed with who Jesus is. And isn't it a shame? You can go to a football match and be so overwhelmed with who your football team are, and you can scream and shout all you want. But the idea that you might meet the Lord of creation and be undone and love him so much that the only thing you can do is lie down on the floor and go, Jesus, you're amazing. I mean, go, imagine that. You think it's what our churches should be full of? And I think that's what was happening. Freedom. By the way, Pete, who preaches regularly, I've been listening to some of the key words. There's a word that Pete's bought, and it's from the Lord. It's his word, but it's been a word for us to be unfettered, set free, to be sons of the King, to be more than conquerors, for his power, to struggle with his power at work in us. And we've been getting tastes of it, a move of God in our midst. And to be freed, to serve, and to give, and to share, and to care. To become servants of the Lord of Lords, authorized by him. We've been learning from Exodus that we are saved, not just from something, but we are saved to something. Does that sentence make sense? God doesn't just come along and go rescue us and go, there you go. Now just carry on as you were. He rescues us to transform us, to release us into something. I sometimes, this thing about, we live in a culture that is obsessed with the surface, obsessed with circumstances. If you just looked better, or were slimmer, or had more time, or had more money. And it often doesn't want to do the work of going down into who we are and being transformed in here. Something that nobody can take away from us. And God perpetually wants to come and work so far down in here that our circumstances can't help but be changed. We've got some friends, I caught up with them recently. And I know they moved across, they weren't in our church, so I'm not talking about anyone here. And they moved. And it was like, well, if we get to go there and we'll have more money because houses are cheaper and we'll have more time. And they've got all of that. But the one thing that they really hadn't cottoned onto was that when they moved from there to there, they were taking themselves there. The biggest problem was them. And when they got there, they're still struggling with the same things they struggle with here, because even though their circumstances changed, they haven't let God do the work in here. And it's heartbreaking as their friends to see that. We're freed to live in the kingdom. God does not come along and deliver us just so that we are richer and better off than everybody else around us. He comes to free us. Remember, we talk about the Great Commandment Commission so that we can be hosts. I've met Jesus. Now I can't help but tell other people about him, serve him, do whatever he calls me to. I don't have any more time, but I've met him, and the time I have, I will now spend on him. I don't have any more money, but the money I have, I will now invest in him. I don't have any more of who I am, but the bit of me that I do have, I will pour out for him. And as he does that, he multiplies and grows us. I want to finish this reflection on an overview of Exodus about time and process. There are two words that Scripture uses. They're Greek words for time. One is chronos, one is kairos. And have you heard of those? Chronos is where we get the word chronology from. And it means a measuring of time. Chronos is the tick of the clock, the measuring of time. But there's also this word kairos. And kairos means a moment, an inbreaking. One of those things that happens that then just stays with you. It can be, and it just seems to last longer, or it's more special. It's a totally different experience of time. Some of you have the opposite. You remember at high school when you're doing exams, and those three-hour exams that used to feel like 5 hours. You know, or you have a special moment and you want it, oh, I don't want this to go. An inbreaking, kairos. Now the kairos, well, in the story of Exodus, do you know it's estimated there were 1.5 million people who had to cross the Red Sea. Do you know how long that probably would have taken? Someone's actually sat down, figured out what that would have been like with elderly, young, disabled, you know, everyone, and logistics and supplies and materials. Probably took a month to cross the Red Sea. 1.5 million people. Certainly didn't do it in a day, 1.5 million people. Have any of you commuted into London and tried to get on the Victoria line? Either way, lots of time. And one of the things about life in the kingdom and following God is chronos, working, waiting, taking time. You see, God's people, once they get free, still haven't learned about who they are, and God makes them wait another 40 years. He goes, you still haven't learned what it is to be free. 40 more years. Chronos. This thing about chronos and kairos, I was thinking about, I love riding my motorbike and I love going out with friends, and there is a whole chronos to riding a motorbike or any. Some of you got your own hobbies and things that you like doing. But it costs money for the kit. It takes forever to put your kit on when you get on a motorbike and lock it and unlock it and check it all. You need to check it properly because you might have an accident if you don't make sure it's safe. And then you have to ride on boring motorways to get to Wales or Scotland or somewhere that's really interesting. And then if you go to Wales and Scotland, it chucks it down with rain all the time and it's cold and all that stuff. And then you've got to fuel your bike. I mean, that's just the ordinariness. You go, why do we bother? Because I tell you why I bother when I do it. Because then when I'm blapping around through Wales and we're, you know, suddenly the sun comes out and my friend Jerry says, oh, he takes us off on a road that even he's never been on. He lives in Wales. And there were three of us. It was me, Stuart, Jerry. And this is the last trip. All that stuff. You go, well, why bother? That's a bit boring, isn't it? All that discipline for this moment. Come round a corner and come into a reservoir, but it's like the Nordic fjords. No buildings, no roads. And we all had the same kairos moment. We all went, we're coming around at speed, enjoying the view, and all went, ooh. Side stand down. All three of us got off our bikes at the same time without talking to one another. All stood in a line, all sat down, took our helmets off and went, wow. And we just sat there for half an hour. Couldn't talk. A kairos moment. The Lord of creation brings us into kairos moments. There's things that we do. And you know what? Suddenly in that moment, that trip, if you say, do you remember that trip to Wales? We don't go, oh yeah, it took me half an hour to put my kit on this. And this. You go, oh, do you remember that road? Do you remember that moment? The kairos overwhelms the investment of the chronos. Now, John and Claire Dowdswell. John's our operations manager. They just had a baby yesterday. Jesse. He weighed 158 pounds, was it? Nine pounds, 8 ounces. They've had 9 months of chronos. Any of you have had kids? You know, tick, tick, see the doctors, go to the hospital, scans, blah, blah, blah. Until, whoof, wow, a baby. And then there's another 24 years of chronos. Until, wow, they've gone. No. You know what I mean. It's amazing moments God brings into your life with your children. I kid you not, a kairos moment for my daughter, who's standing here singing today, was stood as we walked out the hospital in my arms. Kairos moments. It's like it was yesterday. You had those moments? It's like I can just go straight back to it. And I had this little thing, and I'm like, and prayed for her. And I said, Lord, my job is to help this little thing grow up and become independent and serve you and follow you. And there she is. And it took 24 years of chronos, I tell you. There's a lot of work. But it's worth it for that moment. Now, you and I know that in our lives. Another kairos moment. John McClellan, who I love and got to come on Alpha Course. He was at my karate club and called himself an atheist. And God challenged me that I needed to pray. So I started praying for him every day and sharing my faith. And then I cowardly run up and post an invite to Alpha through his door and run away. And he happens to be there because God's got a kairos moment for John. And he goes, what are you doing? And I invite him to Alpha. And he comes to Alpha and he becomes a Christian. But the way he became a Christian, I will never forget when he says, and he took me out for a curry. To have someone go from that place to that moment, I can remember sitting down. And he says, can you introduce me to Jesus? It was worth every bit of fear I had, everything I had to do to pray for that one moment. Kairos. And you know what? The dolphin. You really don't know what the dolphin's been like in my life. It is mostly site visits, spreadsheets, trustees meetings, planning budgets, all the stuff you don't see. A whole slog of chronos. But I tell you what, it was worth it last night for that moment to have Ricky tap me on the shoulder and say, what's happening here? It's worth it. Two Sundays ago, with a pile of bodies down here, I haven't seen anything like it in 20 years. You know, that move of God, and we'll be here week in, week out worshiping God. We're not going to manufacture anything, but it was a lovely moment, a special moment. It was worth 20 years. I'll wait another 20 for the next. But if I can, I can see Stuart's wife. Can I embarrass your husband? As he's not here. He's at work, bless him. And Stuart, who's here, when Stuart comes to the front and picks up the microphone, we're all like, going to hear from the Lord now. Some people have got that, haven't they? Is it because Stuart has been on an advanced ninja training course to hear from God? No, nothing like that. I mean, in some senses, Stuart is one of the most ordinary men I've ever met. He's lovely. But what has Stuart done? And I know he's done. He has clocked in and out with Jesus every day for decades. He reads his word. He prays. He serves. He gives. He worships. Now you see, if one of you had walked up to the front 2 weeks ago and said, this is holy ground, taken off your shoes and asked everyone to come forward, you'd have been like, yeah, right. Stuart comes to the front. And God comes to the front. The chronos culminates in a kairos. We're in the Christmas story. One of my favorite bits of the Christmas story is Simeon. You remember Simeon in the story? Simeon is the one who's in the temple when Jesus is presented. And Simeon, the scripture tells us, Simeon has been told by the Spirit that one day he will meet the Savior. He's going to have this experience. Commentators think that Simeon likely had that experience of God speaking to him. This is a nobody when he was a young man. Simeon is now an old man. And he's there week in, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. And thank goodness he wasn't home watching the football that day. Because Simeon got to see, and the Spirit said, there he is. Can you think of anything more awesome than to go into eternity to be known as the person who had spent their life praying and recognized who Jesus was, and you got your name in the Bible forever? It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Chronos and Kairos. And one of the challenges that you and I face, brothers and sisters, is that we love the Kairos, but not the Chronos. And we live in a culture that's obsessed with selling us fake Kairos moments. Click here, dopamine, another hit. A collection of moments, false moments, that the enemy wants to trap us in. Because the last thing he wants us to do is have a long obedience in the same direction. The Chronos. And Advent reminds us that God calls us to be disciplined and to wait. A baby comes into the world. It takes 9 months for a baby. Waiting. I tell you what, once someone figures out how to fast track that through a month, that will happen. But as yet, it takes 9 months. Oh, God's people have been waiting. God's people have been waiting in Exodus. And then there's a little, after they get free and they meet with God, I love it. When I do my bio, I read through the Bible in a year. And then after that, you know, it sort of picks up and we get to David and Solomon. And then it is nearly a thousand year downhill slide of God's people getting further and further away from God until Jesus comes. In fact, the whole of the Old Testament from David onwards and the Psalms tell us is awaiting God, please come. For 400 years in between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is not one prophetic word from God to his people. 400 years. Most of us can't cope if God doesn't speak to us in a month. I haven't heard from God recently. Imagine 400 years waiting, chronos. And then in the midst of that, erupts. So you know when it says in Scripture that all the angels erupt and sing? All of creation has been waiting 400 years. Whoomph! Advent. Advent reminds us we need to wait. That what's called the church calendar between Advent and Easter and all the events in the year, we have Advent, but there's also what's called ordinary time. Anyone an Anglican here? You know what ordinary time is. But ordinary time has also been called for hundreds of years kingdom time. That God is present the most in the ordinary, the chronos. God is looking for people who love the whole thing of life with him, especially the chronos. He's in the ordinary. It's where he grows us, puts our roots down. It's where he trains us. It's where he prepares us. Why was Simeon ready to recognize the Savior of the world? Because he spent decades praying for it. He could see. The Israelites quickly forgot who God was. And the Kairos moments, have you noticed? These amazing miracles, and then there are a few other things, but after the miracles of God intervening and doing stuff start to fade away. Scripture, these dramatic interventions of God's presence and power, and there's a few blips in there, but they fade away and fade away until Jesus erupts and the Spirit is poured out. The Israelites forgot who God was, and they let the Kairos moments as a result died out over time. So how do we stay free? We need to invest our chronos, and the Kairos will happen. The Kairos is a diagnostic for us. If you are thinking, well, I had a Kairos moment when I became a Christian, but there hasn't been much since, it might be because you haven't engaged your chronos with God and invested it in him. What does that look like? Praying, reading our Bible, serving, speaking about God's word, seeking him, investing. And that when we're tired and overwhelmed, not to stop and not to give in. Have you noticed why so much of the New Testament says this? It says, we are more than conquerors in Christ. I mean, have you noticed all these great passages that tell us who we are in Jesus? And then it says, but persevere. Don't grow weary. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Center and align ourselves around the ordinary, and the Lord of creation will pour out his Kairos on us. So, we've been exploring finding freedom. In the new year, our series is going to be Living in Freedom. We're going to go through the book of Ephesians and explore more of what God has for us.